a document that was published by Chief Inspector Halliwell in 1998, and it's entitled Tackling Drugs to Build a Better Britain. It is 36 pages long, and the word drugs appears 310 times. The word cannabis appears twice. This is a copy of the Misuse of Drugs Act, which was published in 1971. The word drugs, usually in association with the word controlled or the word dangerous, appears 121 times. The word cannabis appears 6 times. So I think you get the idea that the existing drugs policy is based on blurring the distinction between cannabis and other drugs, between cannabis and heroin, and cannabis and a range of dangerous substances produced by the pharmaceutical industry, which is really what this legislation should be about controlling. The media and the law are allowing the distinction to be blurred. So if there is an issue which concerns an illicit substance, it's important that we campaign to know what the substance is. The distortion of the situation is making it very difficult for the public to receive the information about what a beneficial substance that cannabis can be recreationally, environmentally, and medically. I've got a few transparencies here, that you'll be able to see them, to illustrate how this distortion is carried out. Right. Now, look at this one first of all. Right. Can you read that? I'll go through it briefly. Percentages of those between 16 and 30 who have taken the following drugs. Well, if you start at the bottom, 1%. Crack, 1%. Heroin, 1%. Anything else, we'll leave that. Marijuana, cocaine. We get up to ecstasy, magical mushrooms, and LSD. We're still about 10%. Then amphetamine, which is actually in a different category, it doesn't come under the Class A and Class B that's mentioned in the Misuse of Drug Act. It's under Class C, and there are less penalties for possession of it. Now, when we get to cannabis, of course, we are on... this is a chart that came out of the Guardian newspaper. You see those that little line there? Originally, it looked like that. But those little lines mean it should be a lot longer. We didn't have enough space on the page. So in order to give you a picture of the true use of cannabis, I've drawn in an extra part of that. Now, you can see... I'll follow on to the next one.
Do you have the numbers on that, the percentage number?
Yeah, that's 42%. Okay.
Nearly half.
It may have gone up since then, but that's the latest information. This is a chart that came out of the United Nations report on drug misuse for the UK. If you can't see it, I'll just run through it. Type of drugs, 1990, it's up to 1994. But the picture hasn't changed that much. It's probably just increased steadily, as you see here. So, persons found guilty of cautioned or dealt with confounding the drug and the years. Cocaine was 860 in 1990, went up to roughly double in 1993. I don't know what... anybody know what did happen? It's not very popular, so it's, you know... Heroin was 1,600, which went up to, these are all roughly doubling in a 5-year period. LSD 915, ecstasy 286, methadone 154, that actually went down, that went from 154 down to 11. ADS, that is jars and amphetamines. Then we come to cannabis. In 1990, the persons found guilty, cautioned, or dealt with of cannabis was 40,000. It went up 42,000, 56,000, and up to 72,000. So, supposing that cannabis has taken out these figures, you can see that the empire of the cannabis prohibition industry would be considerably reduced. So, in fact, the total is 44,000 gold drugs, right? Well, that's, so we're looking at 1990 now. If you take 40,000 off that, then according to my mathematics, you wind up with around about 4,000 or 5,000 less, which is really close to 10%. So, if you add the whole lot up, you'll find that the ones which are not cannabis come to just over 10% of the ones which are cannabis. This is the distortion that the Misuse of Drugs Act is producing. And this is basically what we've got to change. Now, you've got police forces like the Cleveland one who said that while cannabis is actually being prosecuted, they don't have enough resources. If they put all their resources in, they wouldn't still be able to cope with the so-called problem. And they said that they were going to concentrate on other drugs. Chief Inspector Helliwell said they were going to concentrate on other drugs. But that has been countermanded by the Prime Minister and Home Secretary, who said, no, we're going to continue to be hard on drugs. So, on the charts which exist, I haven't got a thing this, but on the charts which exist in the Misuse of Drugs Act, you can see, well, you can't see, but I'll just explain, that Class A and Class B drugs exist there. Class A is heroin and addictive drugs. Class B is cannabis. But when it comes to the sentences, there's no difference. For example, production of being concerned in the production of controlled drug, 14 years imprisonment maximum. Class B, 14 years imprisonment maximum. Cultivation of the cannabis plant, 14 years imprisonment maximum. Now, the human race had a relationship with the cannabis plant that goes back hundreds or maybe thousands of years. Shakespeare would have been astonished to have been told that in 400 years' time, possession of a cannabis plant could result in imprisonment for 14 years. Because in Shakespeare's time, clothes, furnishings, covers, and other equipment was all made of cannabis. It was considered to be so important for the defence of the country that farmers who didn't grow their quota of cannabis would be fined, because it was essential for the navy, for sails, ropes, covers, canvas buckets, clothing, and flags. Essential for the army, for covers, for tents, for clothing, for bags and other equipment, stuff to do with horses, nose bags and so on. So it was essential, and this was still true in Nelson's time up to the end of the 19th century. In fact, the American government had to lift their ban on cultivation of cannabis during the Second World War because they realized it was essential for the war effort. So these draconian convictions, they're still on the statute book, and they're still being applied. When we hear about cases of people being charged with cannabis, we hope that the law is going to be lenient. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. But they have the right to put people away for a long time, because that's what the law says. And it maintains that by blurring the distinction between cannabis and other drugs. There was recently a report published in The Economist, which was considered to be a proto-royal commission, published by the Police Commission after 2 years' research, and supported by Prince Charles, amongst others. Now, this was a ray of hope for us. They introduced the word depenalization in their report. Depenalization means not putting people in prison for possession of cannabis. not putting people in prison for supply of cannabis. If you're going to have use of cannabis at this sort of level, and at the level of 42%, there has got to be supply. There's going to be supply. There's no way you can get around it. And of course, the distinction between supply and consumption is blurred. Now, that just because this report's come out doesn't mean it's going to be implemented as law. We've got to fight for this. We've got to maintain high profile and support this as a first step. And another point that a last point I want to make is in the Misuse of Drugs Act, there's a section at the beginning that talks about the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs. This is a group of people, different professions, whose duty it is to advise the government regarding policy. And the way it says it here is, those substances which is on the opinion of the council could give rise to misuse of drugs or social problems connected with their misuse. So in the case of cannabis, I think that the inclusion of cannabis in this draconian law is itself what is causing the social problems. It is the Misuse of Drugs Act that is causing the social problems. It's causing family breakup, it's causing people to have their careers destroyed, it's causing divisions amongst young people and the police, it's causing problems between ethnic minorities and the police. The ethnic minority problem is particularly serious because of the Stop and Search Act, which is used largely on the assumption that if somebody is from an ethnic minority, they're likely to be in possession of drugs. And so, finally, I'd just like to say that it's just a few little catchphrases which I feel that we've got to bear in mind. Cannabis is a separate issue. It's got to be considered separately from other so-called dangerous drugs, which the Misuse of Drugs Act was actually originally brought in to control. Tackle drugs separately. And finally, vote cannabis. Hey.